Welcome to this week's episode of Virginia Outdoor Adventures Podcast. Each week, we bring outdoor adventure stories and recommendations from athletes, conservationists, authors, park guides, community leaders, and local business owners from across the Commonwealth. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. From his early days as a child on his grandfather's farm to recent years exploring the outdoors with his own children, today's guest, Phil Riggin, has spent a lifetime hiking, biking, paddling, and exploring Virginia. Phil recently hiked over 240 miles to write his new book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles Richmond. In this episode, Phil highlights some of his favorite routes and outdoor spaces, including some new and lesser known areas. From Fredericksburg to Williamsburg and from Charlottesville to the Northern Neck, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles Richmond has got you covered. Let's go. Phil, thank you so much for joining us on Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm really excited about your book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles Richmond. But before we talk about the book, I would love to learn more about you. What do you love about Virginia's outdoors, and where does your interest in the outdoors come from?
Well, I live in Richmond, and, being close to the beach and being close to the mountains, you know, we, as a family, pop out to both pretty often, especially in the summertime. But gosh, you know, with all the rain, lush green, you know, plenty of shade, it's great for hiking. We love paddling as a family and biking. So we've a lot of good opportunities for all of those.
Tell me a little bit about your grandfather's farm. I understand that you spent a lot of time there as a kid.
Yeah, it's wild for me. You know, my grandfather had a huge farm down in Pennsylvania County. That's pretty close to the North Carolina border, really rural area, but he had a really big farm. So I loved getting out as a kid and just running wild out on his, in his pastures and the woods, all the lakes and creeks. And I had a great grandma that also had a farm. So between those two, running wild and enjoying it. But it wasn't until he started getting older and, you know, we had to sell the farm that we all started to figure out that that was such a special place because we couldn't, you know, have the freedom around, you know, anywhere else like that. So you know, that was around, you know, my time I was in college that I realized that. And at that time, I just started, all right, where do I find my next adventure? You know, and I started doing a whole lot more things outside than I had been in college at that time. So started getting out and getting to like the James River Park. I went to the University of Richmond, so I would get down to Pony Pasture, pretty much my first big park that I was going to. And that's right on the James River. So just big beginnings for me, I guess, appreciating Richmond at that point.
Mm-hmm. Pony Pasture is probably one of the better known areas of Richmond. And you included that in your book as well. But what I think is interesting about your book is there are a lot of lesser known hikes that you've included. And so have you always been a hiker? Has that been an interest of yours for a long time?
I mean, as a kid, real young, my family would go. I lived in North Carolina, you know, when I was really young, and we would go out to the Blue Ridge Parkway or to Pilot Mountain and hike in some of those areas, but not like we did really long hikes. My dad was really tall and more of a golfer than an outdoors guy. So we didn't do it a ton, but yeah, I think I really got much more into being outdoors, hiking, biking, and all that when I was in college and kind of more on my own and making my own choices on where to go. But yeah, Richmond has so many great options that it was easy to just like, oh, let's get a new adventure. Let's go somewhere else. And especially when I had kids of my own and my wife, like we were all just running around, you know, going for, you know, the next place to explore.
So how did that lead to you writing this book? I mean, many of us get outside and we enjoy our adventures and we have a great time, but very few of us actually write a book about it. So I'm curious as to how your past adventures led to this book.
So let me first explain, I had this book, the first edition of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles. I owned it for like 10 years and used it heavily. So when I was contacted to do the third edition of this, because the original writer, Nathan Lott, he had moved out of state, wasn't available. So when I got contacted, hey, have you heard of this book? Yes, I love it. Okay. Would you like to actually help us write the new edition? Yes. I didn't know that was, you know, something that I could do. Sure, but it was a great, already a great, like I was a big fan of the original book. So I was very pleased to be able to have that opportunity. But yes, it was one of those where my connections through media, having friends that, you know, new friends, and they happen to know a producer, or I should say an editor of the book, that, you know, made the connection for me. So it's just kind of luck as well that I got invited to do this.
So are you a professional writer, or what do you do in your professional capacity?
Mm-hmm. So I, at the time, had a reputation from being a reporter working in media for 23 years. Well, until 2016, that's what I did. I worked for the Richmond Times-Dispatch and Channel 12 here in Richmond, a couple of different blog sites that I was participating with. So with all that, you know, my writing experience was obviously very helpful to be able to write this book. Since it's the third edition, I didn't have to write at all. There was part of it is they've got kind of a standard template of things they already, you know, try to tailor to the area. But in the 60 hikes, you know, some of those were already written by Nathan Lott, and I updated a lot of them. I did all the hikes again, and you know, obviously noted any kind of new changes at the parks. To have written it all from scratch would have been a little bit harder, and very grateful to Menasha Ridge Press folks, because they really had it's a really good formula they do. And it's, you know, Richmond is just one of many different places that they have this series. And, you know, where they do it around the country, you know, I'm now looking forward to taking up some of those and going to visit some of them, because it's a really good, I like the style of how they, you know, put the book together.
This book is excellent, and I'm really excited about it for a lot of reasons. One of those reasons is now just seems to be a time with everything that's going on where people are turning to the outdoors in ways that they never have before, and they're discovering outdoor spaces. And you wrote something in the preface. Actually, it was a couple of your last sentences in the preface, and I'll just read this if you don't mind. You wrote, okay. Watch the changing seasons paint your favorite trail in new colors. Learn to identify the trees and birds. Build your way up to a campground stay centered around hiking. You'll find yourself healthier for it, both in mind and body. And I think this really speaks to the times, and I think it will speak to people who might grab this book as a guidebook to look for new places given the current situation.
We call them sanity hikes, or sanity bike rides in my family, because we've all been working from home. My wife is a nursing student, and she has gone to work in a hospital part of her time, but she, you know, all her studying has been online and at home. My kids, both of them are in high school and have been home. So we're all, you know, stuck at the house a little too frequently. So we do every now and then have to just get out on a sanity hike or a sanity bike ride, sanity paddle, something to get us out of the house. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who were looking for something else to do and have asked, hey, where should I do that? Hey, I've got a book that I could recommend you. So I have had some success with, you know, recommending my book to some people. 60 hikes within 60 miles covers a pretty big swath of parks. You know, there's obviously more that we didn't catch in the book, but getting out of the house anywhere right now is recommended for folks. I mean, hiking, that's a great thing that for social distancing, for, mm-hmm. you know, anybody, especially for families, because, you know, like I say, you can't stare at the same four walls all day and keep your mental facility straight. So it's important to get out and connect with nature. And certainly this book recommends plenty of places for people in the Richmond area.
So let's dive into some of these sanity hikes, shall we? What I like about the way you have this organized is, even though the title of the book is 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles Richmond, it really covers a lot of grounds around Richmond. In fact, some of the areas that you include, other than the central Richmond area, is the area south of the city. You've got hikes all the way out to Williamsburg in the Tidewater region, Fredericksburg in the Northern Neck, even Charlottesville. So those are all, you know, pretty, not that they're very far. I mean, you can get there in an hour to an hour and a half, but if you live outside of Richmond in one of those regions, this book is for you as well.
I mean, the marketing team at Menasha Ridge Press is very happy to make sure that we have a wider area to sell the book. But for me, the main thing was being able to have so many more hikes to do and enjoy and get out to places that I hadn't seen. You know, of the 60 hikes, 30 of them were new to me. I had not even visited those places before. So that was fantastic for me, because I just loved seeing all the new places. Getting out to the Northern Neck, almost all those were brand new. Fredericksburg area, Spotsylvania County area, those were all brand new to me. Most of the Charlottesville ones I had only mountain biked and hadn't hiked before. So just really fun to, for me personally, to get out and see so many of those. But, you know, I'm starting to meet a lot of the people who actually put those trails together. And it's even more satisfying, you know, for me being able to connect with those volunteers or the actual, you know, civic workers who have helped do that, the people with the state park system, all of that. So the volunteer side of me being able to find new places to volunteer as well, really helpful to me personally. But yeah, you were talking about how we broke it down. I have to say, this is part of the formula that Menasha Ridge Press sets up with these books, is, you know, trying to set up a really nice mapping system and a good guidance for you through it. And it's called 60 miles. We do kind of fudge that just a little bit. It's more like 60 miles range of the metro area of Richmond. It's not like it's from the mile zero point down at the Capitol Square in downtown Richmond, but that gets me up to Fredericksburg and up to Northern Neck and some of these areas that are just a little bit more than maybe 60 miles, but really good hikes at that point to add. So very pleasing for me.
Yeah, and there's quite a variety here of different types of hikes. For example, you've got some city parks, but then you also have, if I remember correctly, 11 state parks, which is fantastic. But then you also have some conservation areas, national battlefields, wildlife management areas. It's a really big variety of the different types of outdoor landscapes.
Yes, there's 6 different battlefield sites. And I have to say, you know, I've always looked at the Civil War battlefield sites as great places to preserve the nature. No matter how you view all of that, the land preservation is the big key. The development that encroaches on those lands, you know, that's such a big important part of the management of those parks, is preserving the nature and the, whether it's the animals that live there or the trees, the birds, all of that. But of course, they're, you know, preserving the history of those sites, but great places to hike. And oftentimes you're going to be, you know, one of the only people there, which is another, you know, if you're looking for a hike that's pretty isolated, they're almost always really great. But yeah, there's 6 Civil War sites. State parks, they're all so well marked, and, you know, the trails are, you know, so well managed, that great for families, almost all of them, for those reasons. But, you know, you're not going to get lost. And a lot of help if you because there's more people there. And of course, you know, lots of other amenities at those parks as well. But most of those state parks, other than Pocahontas and a couple of the other ones in the immediate Northern Neck area, I hadn't been to any of them. So it was great to be able to see so many of those wonderful Virginia state parks. But we added 13 new parks, and almost all of those were either new parks, brand new, or they were parks that are in the metro area that were either new or really had been overlooked. And so I kind of knocked out some of the wildlife management areas that I think were, I like some of them, but in some of the cases, they're more for hikers that were hunting or for people who really were looking for a rough hike, because a lot of those end up being forest management areas as well. So I did add one wildlife management area out in Fluvanna County that I really liked, except that it was, the weeds are really high that particular time. So right time of the year for some of those parks is really important as well, especially because they are hunted places. You have to watch out for hunting season for some of those wildlife management areas. But yeah, there's some nature area preserves, wonderful places, and almost every one of them, the only reason they exist is because volunteers and, you know, preservationists work hard to make sure that they, you know, that they're open. So yeah, just, it's great to appreciate, you know, so many of those great spaces as well.
I guess the other thing that excited me with this is that there are spaces that a lot of people hadn't heard of. And so if you want to get outside and, you know, be away from people, they're great hikes. And, you know, I am a huge supporter of our state parks, and this is nothing against the parks, but they have been experiencing some of the highest volume of visitation in their history right now. And it's because people are getting outside. And on the one hand, it's wonderful that people are discovering the state parks. On the other hand, it's really straining the resources. And oftentimes those parks have to close the gate sometimes by 10 o'clock in the morning. running because they've reached capacity. So if you're planning a day around a state park and you get there and the gates close, that's going to be a little bit disappointing. So I, you know, in my own ventures outside, have been discovering a lot of these natural areas and wildlife management areas as alternatives to the state park during this crazy time.
Yeah, well, the 60 hikes we have, I mean, Pocahontas State Park has heard of it. It's, you know, the biggest state park in acreage in Virginia, but it's very popular and huge mm-hmm. with mountain bikers and people there. They have an aqua center. So there's people, all kinds of different reasons they go to Pocahontas. But, you know, among the other ones that I have here, I mean, Twin Lakes State Park is a really nice park that has a huge preserve next to it, you know, sort of a forest. State Forest, I should say, next to it. So hardly anybody is at that park, at least on the trails throughout the year. Lake Anna. Lake Anna's got wonderful trails and a huge swimming area and campground area. But the trails, their extensive network of trails, they're not overpopulated, despite being, you know, mm-hmm. closer to Northern Virginia and all that. But, you know, Northern Neck, Westmoreland State Park is great. And, you know, the vantage points of the Potomac River up there are fantastic. You got people that go for a lot of people go and sift along the beaches looking for shark's teeth and fossils and things like that. Mm-hmm. Because that area was once underwater of the Chesapeake Bay. But yeah, it's such a big variety of state parks. And I'd have to say Westmoreland is probably, there's a lot of people go to that park, but the hiking area, you'd probably be isolated versus the beach areas at that place, you know, people cooking out and so on. But yeah, the variety, you know, I think if you read through the book and try to, you know, find some of these that are outside of the biggest metro areas, then you're probably more likely to, you know, to find some isolation for yourself. Powhatan State Park is about 25 miles outside of Richmond, and it's a relatively new state park. The trails, it's an old farmland and forest area. So there's a lot of wooded trails, and they're still developing some of these, some of the parts of that park, but it's so under trafficked. It's a beautiful location out along the James River there. So, you know, like I say, there's so many good recommendations within the book to be able to get to, you know, the state park system.
One other thing that I want to give you props for in this book is your hat tip to history. It's not just about the natural areas and the geography of Virginia, but also the history that happened here. At the end of your introduction, you wrote this: America's history unfolded on Virginia soil, and this guidebook invites you to tread in the footsteps of English settlers, American revolutionaries, slaves seeking freedom, Civil War soldiers, and civilian conservation corps workers. Don't pass up the opportunity to walk a mile in their shoes. And as a former fourth grade teacher, that gets me really excited. And I'm curious, what made you decide to focus a little bit on history as well?
Well, it's a book. And the fact that you can't just talk about the hikes, turn left at this tree, turn right at that rock, that's boring. It's got to be more about, why would you go to that park? What's the history of that area? What's the reason that land was even made into a park? And, you know, we try as much as we can through the 60 hikes to provide good historic information for those. In my case, it's how my brain works. I go to these places and I want to recreate at least something that may have been going on in these areas as I walk. I'm looking for nature. I'm looking for all kinds of, you know, birds, trees, wildlife. It's also cool to see some of the remnants, scars, whatever it is, of man's time on those properties. One of the parks that really comes to mind when I say that is out in New Kent County, and the park is called Warren Eye. Warren Eye is a Native American name. I think it's Pamunkey Indian tribe, which is, you know, that's pretty close to the river there. But there's many spellings of the name Warren Eye. There's all these settlements that were on that land. There's an old burial ground, a grave site, and a church, a foundation of a church there. So finding some of those places is part of the adventure on these hikes. And we tried to highlight as many of those as we could. Walnut Creek Park in Albemarle County, near Charlottesville, there's, you know, a couple of old campsites, cabins and the foundations for them. So it's fun to go find those things as you're walking, especially if you're walking with kids that, you know, have a different attention span than you might. And so, you know, maybe reading up on some of those before you go. I have had a few people give me feedback that they carried the book with them as they were going, as if it's a treasure hunt or something. The part for me, when I was asked to write this, a lot of that history had already been researched by Nathan Lott. And I followed, for a lot of these new parks, I followed his style to try to match with a lot of those new ones to make sure we were still doing the history and the reason you want to go to these places. Not so much like that, like I say, the directional kind of stuff, which I find to be very boring when you're just suggesting where people should, how they'd get along the trails.
Let's actually talk about some of the specific hikes in here, as I think it would be useful to maybe touch on a couple in each region. What do you think about that?
That'd be great.
I will let you pick which ones you would like to share.
Well, almost all of these that I want to highlight are ones that were new to me, or I at least got to see them in a way I'd never seen them before. But, you know, I went up to the Fredericksburg area, Safford County, and it was Crow's Nest Natural Area Preserve, which was opened. It's one of the last things that Governor McAuliffe did, was opening this nature area preserve. It's beautiful. From everything that I read from, you know, Department of Conservation and Recreation, it was pristine land that had never been developed. This is right along the Potomac River, and it's kind of surrounded by some creeks and in the Potomac itself, but it's a really beautiful spot. Like I was saying, pristine, undeveloped. So all the hardwoods are there. There's very little. It's not full of weeds or, you know, mm-hmm. things that are out of place. A lot of mountain laurels and beautiful hardwoods that, you know, you don't see everywhere. Like I feel like there was just, you know, sort of untouched. So I really appreciated my experience there. It might be a little bit hard to get to. The directions for all these parks are pretty clear, but that one does have a couple of twists and turns that you might feel like, all right, am I lost or not? But it's a really cool experience that I totally did not expect for that particular park. And that's sometimes with whatever I write with these, if it doesn't match your experience, it could be that I just saw something that day that was different than you might see or feel. But I was so excited about that one. I tried to cover as much as I could of what I saw.
I would agree with your assessment. I was surprised as well. I visited that area for the first time just a couple of months ago, and I believe it was April or May. And so the mountain laurel were blooming and the spring warblers were migrating. And so there was bird song everywhere, and it was really stunning. And even though it's not a large area, the trails are really easy to follow. And what I found remarkable was how the landscape changed from one side to the other. And you're right, you don't see a lot of invasive species or invasive plants taking over the area. What you do see are really, really big trees, and they are everywhere. And it's remarkable how many there are. And you want to take a picture next to every one of them because they are so huge. And you're not used to seeing trees that are that big in Northern Virginia in general, because a lot of this area was logged. And so, you know, where you do get to see those trees, it's pretty remarkable. But you've got waterfront, you've got forest, you've got streams. It's really a beautiful area.
Yeah, I was so impressed, and I do want to get back to that. That's not a park that you can go and bike. Nature Area Preserves usually, you know, ban biking, but you can also paddle there. So they have a really good boat launch. And like I say, I felt very, you know, off to myself. You know, there was hardly anybody in the park that day, but I didn't hear highways and I didn't hear all the urban noises other than maybe a plane here or there, or maybe a boat out on the Potomac. But it was out in nature, which is great for that area because there's so much that's developed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a really developed area that I know is being redeveloped. Another hike that I liked was down in Appomattox River, which is in Petersburg area. My friends with the Friends of the Lower Appomattox, they're working on that trail system down there. And I chose to do a section of the Appomattox River Trail in Petersburg for this book. I liked the hike that I did. I've now since found a couple of other places along in that same area that I would love to expand if I am asked to do the next edition of this book. It's an old canal system, and they've got all these old mill sites along there. The trail itself is still under development, so it's a little bit rougher than some of the, you know, state park level or even the nature area preserve trails. But, oh gosh, the scars of development over, you know, centuries in the Petersburg area, you can see it. And the, you know, the Appomattox there is, the flow of the river is managed by a dam that's a little bit further west of the location for this particular hike. But there's just so many different things to see, like spillways and things that might be covered depending on the flow of the river. So it's just, it's a great place to have an adventure, I think, along that one. I was so happy to be able to add the work that Folar is doing in that area to this book, because it hadn't been in the previous editions.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your book right now, and there's a photo of stone arches from a mill. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, the Battersea Mill site. And those were the, it was basically a mill race that would feed that, you know, mill race was, you know, taking water, backed up, you know, water from the Appomattox, directing it into that mill to run, you know, to run the mill itself. And those were, I think, where the water would be released through those two openings. And the arches are built with a keystone in the middle of each one. So hopefully nobody ever messes with that. They're very big arches, but hopefully nobody messes with them, because it's such a cool stone structure, and it's, you know, it's Mason stone. I mean, they cut that stuff to have that there, but the rest of the site is gone. They've, you know, for years, decades, that stone has been gone. But yeah, that's, you know, some of the little features, you know, down there. And they've got old rail lines and the old canal remnants. It's a really cool site that maybe 20 years from now will be this perfect, pristine connection trail network. It's like 22 miles between Petersburg and Hopewell. So this is on that western end, but, you know, it's really cool.
So what are some other hikes in here that you'd like to highlight?
So there's a lot of big nature trails all around that I've added, or that, you know, we've updated for the 60 hikes within 60 miles. But one that it's the most urban one, and the one I think I feel happiest for having added, is the Richmond Slave Trail. And that is, it's, you know, right in downtown Richmond. It starts on the old Manchester docks, which is, it's at Ancaro's boat landing. But this big stone cut granite dock that's there. And that's where they used to pull in the slave trading days. That's when they used to pull these boats up, because that's still in the tidewater part of the James River right before all the rapids begin. But they would bring, you know, slaves, human beings, to be sold in the cover of darkness to those docks, and they would march them, you know, 2 miles, whatever, to Lumpkin's jail, where they would, you know, imprison them. And these are people who had been stuffed into these boats, in the underneath parts of these boats. So I always like to tell the story by saying the Slave Trail Commission that was put together to form this trail, you know, they had Ralph White, the old James River Park manager. He's now retired, but he helped actually make the trail happen. And he would lead these torchlit hikes or experiences, really, along that trail. You do it at night. And, you know, usually they're doing it in the summer around Juneteenth, which is a celebration of emancipation. You know, the emotions of that trail at night with the torchlit is hard to convey during the day. But, you know, they have a lot of signage along that helps you read and, you know, kind of get a feel for what these people, you know, they under the cover of darkness, they would hike them, march them, you know, along the banks of the James, complete darkness other than their torches, people scared to death. And, you know, and the experience now, you can, you know, like I say, follow the guided trail, but it's mostly urban. You're on mostly a paved path, except for the very beginnings, which is a mulch single track trail. You're on sidewalk downtown through some of the streets there, but it's a well-marked trail. You wouldn't get lost. But it's good to, you know, have an idea of the reverence. You have to be, you know, mindful of why you would want to take that hike. It's more meaningful if you really are paying attention to why that exists. And we tried to detail a lot of it in the book. And I took it with my kids, and it was one of those, we did it during the day. It's hard to get that feel, but it's probably safer to do it during the day, just basically because you can't see without flashlights through a part of it. But
And so you mentioned that this is one of the most urban hikes that you've included in the book.
Yes. I mean, almost all these other ones, you're pretty much on gravel or maybe some asphalt trail, but mostly dirt and single track. That one, obviously, with, you know, you're crossing a bridge, you're walking on sidewalk areas, the canal walk itself for a little ways. Yeah, there's, you know, I did want to talk just next to this, uses the same Mayo Bridge to cross to form this, but we have a new bridge, a new pedestrian bridge in Richmond, the Potterfield Bridge, or the Teapot. A lot of the local people call it the Teapot Bridge. But, you know, if you begin around Browns Island, we recommend a loop that uses the Teapot Bridge and goes along the flood wall, the Mayo Bridge, and then along Pipeline. So you're getting all these great vantage points of the downtown skyline, the James River, the wildlife, because, you know, in that area of the James, you're starting to get where the rapids begin, which attracts a lot of birds, like, you know, great blue heron and osprey, because that's where the fish have to start really working to get up river to spawn. And they get tired. They've been swimming up river, and they get to these rapids, and they have to jump into these little pools as they get up the rapids themselves. So it's a great hunting ground for all of the birds. And so it's just a pretty interesting area. And we happen to have skyscrapers, you know, downtown condos and, you know, the Federal Reserve Building, all these, like, right above all these areas. And there's also a huge train viaduct that runs right across all of this. So you got CSX trains running up and down all throughout the day, too. There are a lot of exciting things to see in that loop. It's about 2.5-3 miles, depending on which way you go along the Potterfield Bridge. That was a new hike that couldn't have been done before, because the Potterfield Bridge was added, you know, just I think it was 4 years ago. Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite hikes now. And my family still, we actually did that just a few days ago. But that one's more accessible. It's very popular. It's always full of people. So it depends on, you know, how much you want to get away from people, or how much you want to be in the middle of things. That one's a pretty popular one for people just, you know, to go hang out.
Mm-hmm. And you have a beautiful photo of it here in your book. And I just want to point out that all of the photos and the maps in the book are super helpful in helping the reader understand exactly what it is that they're getting into and what they're going to see. And then in addition to that, each hike has a lot of very specific information that is also really useful. Not just the distance, but you have the difficulty level, the elevation, the type of scenery, the exposure. I assume that means sun exposure, right?
Yes.
And traffic, what the trail surface is like, how long it will take, accessibility. All, I mean, really, there isn't anything in here that I think you forgot to include.
Like I say, there's a formula that Menasha Ridge Press has for all these 60 hikes within 60 miles books. I filled in the blanks on all this stuff for them. For this edition, I was able to also add bus stops for a lot of the more urban connected hikes, and a lot of, you know, bike, if there's any bike accessible areas or bike racks and things. But yeah, as a transportation planner, that was really important to me, to be able to add the bus routes. And a quick side note there, I added all of the routes and all the numbered routes, but GRTC changed them right after I submitted all of the manuscripts for the book. And so the best part is, you know, it made me realize how much, you know, there's great editors. Editors that worked on this book were fantastic. And so, I mean, they were on all of this. Like, why doesn't this match up to what I see online? And, you know, it was great. So I really appreciate the efforts that they did for that. But, you know, really, as a transportation planner, like I say, it's important for me to include some of these ways to get that don't to get to the parks that don't just involve you driving there. And, you know, I added 13 new parks, but as you're pointing out, this is the first edition where we have all color photos and all color maps. And the maps are much more specific. They're not cartoonish like they have been in the past. They're much more aligned with GIS. So they're much more specific, you know, to the lines that you might see. Whereas before it was more like, it's a little bit of a ballpark map. So I'm really proud of how all those turned out. And I did have to actually work with them pretty heavily on a few of them because I wanted the narrative that I wrote to match the arrows that they had showing where I went, because some of these parks were big enough I couldn't hike everything. So I'm really recommending a particular hike, and I wanted those arrows to be able to match up exactly to what I was describing. You know, like I say, some people do actually like to walk with the book and you know, be guided by it. But yeah, we got, like I said, 13 new parks. I drove 3,400 miles to these parks, which sounds like a lot to me, but I actually did it pretty efficiently. I tried to combine several parks that were near each other, say up on the Northern Neck. We did a camping trip as a family to two of the sites. Actually, I did three one weekend as a family. And that was, you know, trying to combine some of those so we weren't just driving all over the place to each one individually. We camped out at a few of these places that were convenient. And it was great. I mean, I ended up hiking 240 miles myself, and my family ended up doing about 100 themselves. So it's really cool to have, you know, that opportunity.
It's an amazing opportunity. And I'd like to touch on maybe a couple more hikes, especially in some of the regions that we haven't talked about yet. Did we mention any from Williamsburg or Tidewater?
Well, so in Williamsburg, there's a bunch of them that I thought Williamsburg was just going to be flat as it could be, because it's so close to, you know, the Chesapeake Bay area and the James River there, so flat. No, Williamsburg, Waller Mill Park is one of the sites that my family went with me to see. And Waller Mill, I mean, James City County does their parks really well. And Waller Mill was a big surprise to me. A variety of topography in this park. I mean, it was a challenge for some of the up and down little spots there. The ground there is a lot sandier. You're getting towards more of the beach or the loamier, sandy type of soil. But yeah,
that's a great fourth grade curriculum term, by the way. Right. The loamy, sandy soil. That's right.
Yeah. Well, and this is a particular area that's had a lot of different historical, experiences, I'll say. Williamsburg obviously being a big area for history as it is. But I really, you know, as a family, we enjoyed that park quite a bit. And it's one of those you can connect out to that park from Williamsburg itself. It's not right in the town, but it's just off of 64. And I think they actually have that park set up really well to invite people off of the interstate. They have a dog park there that, you know, they actually charge money for people coming off the interstate to use the dog park, which is genius because it really helps them to be able to maintain that park. And they've got canoe and kayak rentals. Yeah, huge park, playground, all kinds of stuff that, you know, I hadn't really expected. There's others in Williamsburg that I really liked as well, but that was an unexpected highlight to me. Part of the Capitol Trail, I just want to touch on one other one. We did Green Springs Park down there, which is it's connected to the Virginia Capitol Trail. And that was a really beautiful park because, you know, Williamsburg has a lot of marshlands, and this one actually has a huge boardwalk that goes across this marshland that is really, you know, kind of in the center of this park. The Capitol Trail also has a boardwalk that's part of this network there. And it's, you know, it's very wide there. So it's not like you're going to be shoved up next to people who are going to be biking, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour as you're hiking there. It's about 25 feet wide in places there. But yeah, I really liked both of those. And as a family, we hiked down along all those and just enjoyed Williamsburg in general. It's a good place to be able to hang out. And then, you know, we're talking about the western side. I have lots of parks that I enjoyed out that way. You know, Powhatan State Park is included in that western area. But in Charlottesville area, you start actually getting elevation and you get elevation change. The topography out that way is more mountainous and you actually, you know, have to work. So My favorite would be Walnut Creek Park. You actually get some, you know, steep rocky trails through a part of that park. And I actually mountain biked that one afterward, which did, I think I did like 8 miles hiking and another 12 miles biking. And I was really spent after being at that park. But I would say, you know, you have to find Walnut Creek Park. It's not right in Charlottesville. It's down in the county, south of Charlottesville, but, really love that one. And that's one that I would want to go back to several times. My family did not do that one with me, so they missed out.
But yeah. I'm looking at the map and you can actually see the topography like you mentioned, and it's very clear that this one is going to be a little more difficult than some of the others. But another thing that you have included here are other things to do besides hike. So like I'm seeing that this particular park has a disc golf course, and it's very well marked when there are other features of the park that people can take advantage of other than hiking.
Yeah, there's several parks that we you know included in the book that have disc golf with them. And you know, Dory Park and out east of Richmond in Henrico, Bryan Park in Richmond, disc golf is actually it's in itself is a hike. And I'm not a disc golfer, but I really appreciate, you know, folks who get out and, you know, combine, you know, that social time with whatever the case. But yeah, Walnut Creek has a lot of elevation to it. You know, it's not an easy park to play disc golf from what I saw. And like I say, the mountain bike trails there are really challenging, but they've got a dammed up lake so you can, you know, paddle, and there's fishing. It's all kinds of different things to do there, you know, depending on what time of year you go. But yeah, that on that western area, I mean, Charlottesville, so many good parks. There was a new one in Goochland as well that was added, Leakes Mill. What I wrote in the book was when it was first being developed. And, you know, I've been to it several times since. There's a whole lot more to that park now. You know, the trails network is probably double what it was when I visited. What I wrote about in the book is still the most advisable for hiking. That hasn't changed. But if you know, go there on a Saturday, you're going to have the parking lots full of either kids playing soccer, because it does have recreational fields, or it's, you know, these guys that are mountain biking there. And it is a fantastically laid out mountain bike trail. So highly recommend that one, just, you know, for the mountain bike trails alone.
I'm flipping through and I have come across the Ravana Trail, and I'm wondering if you could talk about that. Is that a longer bike trail?
Oh my goodness. So the one thing I'll say, if you're from Charlottesville and you're familiar with the Ravana Trail, I did not have any chance to cover that trail in enough detail. If you do the whole loop, it's 19 miles. And we just did a little 2-3 mile section in the southeastern corner of Riverview Park along the Ravana River there. But yeah, that trail, well, the part we did was all paved. But most of that is a somewhat, you know, developing trail of single track or sidewalk, multi-use path, whatever it is that they can do to get it to form this ring around Charlottesville. And some of it is on the UVA campus or just outside of it. Some of it's, you know, in the more developed areas like Barracks Road and some of these shopping areas or in neighborhoods. I did not do it enough justice because I have to say I didn't have time to do 19 miles. It wasn't really the goal of mine, but to do anything more than try to touch on some of it. But that's another, they're developing that trail still, and it'll take them years to really put it all together. But it's a really cool opportunity. And I'm jealous because, you know, yeah, any town that it has that ability to carve out that kind of land and put it together and form a trail network like that is great. Fredericksburg has a similar setup, but it's smaller. Their canal, and this is something, one of the hikes that I wrote about, the canal path, and it combines with the it's on the Rappahannock River, so the Rappahannock River Heritage Trail. It actually forms a 3.2 mile loop, and this is right there in the old part of Fredericksburg. Fantastic, you know, that, you know, they work so hard to make those two connect, and you know, it's just beautiful, you know, forms that loop. It's a good non-vehicular transportation route for people that go to Mary Washington College or any of the, or I should say Mary Washington University, the hospital in that area, a lot of the developing suburban shopping areas and the, you know, just all of the office, you know, complexes and so on. I mean, Fredericksburg is growing a lot, and that hopefully is a good core of them to be able to use that, not just as the hikes, but, you know, just as their lifestyle, you know, healthy and active living lifestyle. In the book, I obviously have my favorites, the James River Park. It's almost like it's so well known in Richmond that we don't really talk about it that much, but I tried to cover several different areas of the James River Park in different ways. And, you know, I did the entire James River Park loop, which includes the North Bank Park, Belle Isle, the Buttermilk Trail, which is that whole southern system. That loop itself, I mean, I wrote about it separately than, you know, some of the other trails that also connect through that area. But, you know, everybody knows those trails in Richmond really well. It's a big destination. So I you know, for your podcast here, I didn't want to take too much time talking about that. You know, we definitely cover some of the more popular areas in Richmond too. So I hope that, you know, people will enjoy some of the stories. I can't say that everybody who goes to Pony Pasture or, you know, Belle Isle, some of the more popular places, actually know anything about them before they go. But the history of some of those parks, the reasons why they are actually made available to become parks, those stories, you know, we try to tell them in the book as best we can. And it's really important to, I guess, honor the people who had worked so hard to make it happen. And folks like I said, Ralph White, who was the James River Park manager, you know, helped maintain it. And, you know, the volunteers who helped not only to build the parks, but helped to maintain it now. You know, it's why people want to live in Richmond. So many people come and, you know, live in Richmond because of those great outdoor spaces like the James River Park. So I definitely tried to maintain the, you know, the respect for those in the writing of the book.
Absolutely. And you did a fantastic job of that. Your book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles Richmond, the third edition, is something that is going to be in my back pocket for a long time. I know this book has got me excited to check out some new places that I had not heard of before. And I think I'm just going to keep this in my car so that it's handy all the time so that I can grab it and while I'm on the run. And, you know, sometimes you find yourself in a different area for all kinds of reasons. You know, maybe you're traveling for business or visiting family or friends. And you can always grab this book and look for a hike near you that would be good for everybody in your party. So I think this is a great resource to have.
Thank you. Yes. And I was going to say, for anybody who wanted to buy the book in Richmond, I mean, the best bookshops, Fountain Books in Chaco Slip, they've been fantastic and helped, you know, sell the book pretty heavily. REI is obviously a big outdoors place. Walkabout Outfitters in Carytown, you know, both of those have, you know, been selling the book. But online, you know, people can get it with Amazon. But, you know, the publisher of the book is Menasha Ridge Press, and their website is menasharidge.com. That's M-E-N-A-S-H-A, Ridge. So I have to say, I haven't had any trouble, you know, people finding the book, but it's, yeah, I've been very pleased to be able to be a part of it and hopefully, you know, carry it on if we have a fourth edition of the book.
That would be great. I will include links in the show notes so that our listeners can easily find where to purchase the book. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. But before we do, I have a couple of questions I want to ask you that I ask all my guests. So the first one is, especially as a hiker who gets around so much, what is one piece of gear you can't live without?
So other than, you know, everybody needs to have good water, hiking shoes and socks, you know, all that kind of stuff to protect your feet. I have to have a camera, but more than anything else, I'm addicted to Strava, GPS tracking. I have to know how far I went. I want to know exactly, you know, where I was. I use that for biking and hiking. So yeah, my Strava app is always on when I'm out on these. And that's how I measured everything for the book. So, you know, Strava is a big deal to me.
Yeah, I would recommend that as well for folks to have some sort of GPS tracker just in case. You never know if your map might be a little bit off, which I've had that happen sometimes. Maps aren't always fantastic, or, you know, sometimes like different mapping apps kind of send you in the wrong direction. It's good to have something that that can help you get back to where you started if need be. So the next question is, are there any local businesses that you would recommend? You've gotten around quite a bit. I'm sure there has to be some place that you would recommend that people stop if they're on the road and getting out to all these different new places.
Well, so for the book, I have to say, I tried to contact as many breweries, and there's a lot of breweries in Richmond, to see if I could have, like, can I do a presentation? Can I sell my book, you know, to folks that, you know, are gathered to have a beer? So there's so many fantastic breweries in town. I actually connected with a couple that I guess I better not name any in particular, just so I don't get in trouble with anybody. But, you know, it was great to be able to, you know, have some of these where I was able to, you know, there was one with a book club. There was another, you know, that let me just come and you know, invite folks to hang out while I talked about it. So, I mean, Richmond has got so many nice breweries. So chasing a hike with a good, you know, beer afterward is pretty essential. But yeah, I've got, you know, a bunch of outdoors places. REI is, you know, obviously well known, but they've been really kind to me, and they've also been very generous with donations to a lot of these trails. So I certainly appreciate, I get a lot of gear from them, you know, as a part of that thanks to them. But bike shops too. I mean, I hit a lot of the bike shops in town. So that's kind of where I live. I can't say that I get out to do a lot of things right now with, you know, us dealing with the pandemic, but the bike shops have been open. They're essential. Breweries have been open a lot of the time, at least. And, you know, so it's good to have those places to hang.
And the breweries feel essential right now as well. I'll just point that out. So Phil, this writing of this book is obviously a big adventure. I'm curious, other than a fourth edition, do you have any other big Virginia Outdoor Adventures planned?
So I have, with my job, I'm a bike and pedestrian planner for the Richmond region. And I have been needing to get up to the Washington and Old Dominion Trail up in Northern Virginia. It's a, you know, 45 mile trail. It's paved the whole way. You know, it's an old rail line that is now a trail. I want to do that really bad. So that's high on my list of adventures that I want to do. But, there's all these hikes that my family has done. Either we've done them and we want to go do them again, or down in the southwestern part of Virginia, we like going down to like Channels State Forest and Devil's Marble Yard. You know, closer to home, we've got the Crabtree Falls and the Appalachian Trail and all this. Like, you know, a lot of those places, my daughter's been saying, let's get out and, you know, do some of those. But, you know, the idea of not being able to, you know, snag hotels and some of these things during this time, you know, those are harder day trips for us, but want to be able to get back out to some of those of our favorite hikes. I mean, Channels is just a unique, strange feature. You know, you have to look up Channels State Forest. Same with Devil's Marble Yard, these huge boulders in both of those places where mountainsides, you know, with the freeze thaw over several centuries, right? So how they formed all these really cool rock formations and, you know, rock graveyards, essentially. And Crabtree Falls itself is just beautiful, especially in the spring with all the water cascading down. It's a, you know, very tall fall for Virginia, and it's right along the Appalachian Trail. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff that we're definitely looking forward to getting back around to. It's outside of Richmond, but certainly, you know, worth visiting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about trying to get down to that area myself when things become a little bit safer to travel. Phil Riggins, thank you so much for joining us on Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast and for sharing the highlights of your book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, Richmond, third edition. Wish you lots of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate you having me on, and best of luck to you as well.
Thank you. Adventure on. Thanks for joining us for this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to Virginia Outdoor Adventures on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you enjoy the show, please rate, review, or share with a friend, and follow us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Until next week, adventure on.